Kraft presents The Great Gildersleeve. The Kraft Cheese Company, who also bring you the Kraft Music Hall every Thursday night, present each week at this time Harold Perry as The Great Gildersleeve, written by John Whedon and Sam Moore. We'll join The Great Gildersleeve in just a few seconds. But first, let me put you wise to that marvelous cheese flavor that's pepping up so many wartime menus. A tempting golden cheese food that spreads, slices, and melts, tastes good, and is mighty good for you. Pabstet, of course. Pabstet, the delicious golden cheese food of 100 uses. It spreads like butter at room temperature, slices neatly when chilled, melts quickly and easily. Pabstet blends temptingly into casserole and baked dishes, and it makes smooth, luscious cheese sauces in a jiffy. And it spreads readily to make grand-tasting lunchbox sandwiches. Your youngsters will go for Pabstet's mellow cheese flavor in a big way. Delicious Pabstet contains a wealth of nourishing goodness. Helps provide body-building proteins, food energy, milk minerals, and important vitamin A. So you can see it's a wonderful food for your family, at mealtime and for between-meal snacks. Don't forget, the name is Pabstet. Buy Pabstet, the delicious cheese food, from your dealer tomorrow. Now, on to Summerfield and the Great Gildersleeve. Culture seems to have taken root in Summerfield lately, and already it's putting forth new shoots. A little group of earnest music lovers has popped up, organized as the Summerfield Friends of Music, and some of the charter members are meeting tonight at the home of Mrs. Pettibone. Friends and admirers of the Great Gildersleeve will not be surprised to find him present, as well as the principal of the school, Miss Eve Goodwin, and that pillar of justice, Judge Hooker.
Mrs. Pettibone!
Mr. Gildersleeve!
May I say something?
Pray do. Quiet, everybody. Mr. Gildersleeve is going to say something.
Again?
I should just like to say that naturally we are very gratified at having secured such a great artist as Mr.
Troy. Cyril Troy.
Cyril Troy. Naturally, we are very gratified at having secured such a great artist for our first concert tomorrow.
Naturally.
And I think we owe a vote of thanks to the one person who has made this achievement possible.
Oh, you flatterer.
I refer to that very charming, that very energetic, that very artistic and talented, not to say charming young lady, who has done more for our little society than anyone else. Our founder, Miss Eve Goodwin.
Ooh.
I heartily second that.
Thank you, gentlemen, but...
Just a moment, please. Well, I should not for one instant want to detract one single iota from anything that has been said about Miss Goodwin. If the meeting could come down to earth for a minute, please. There are still a few arrangements to make. First, about Mr. Troy's reservations. I've called the hotel, and they say there's not a single room available.
Oh, I think he should be entertained as a guest. After all, he's an artist.
Well, he's being well paid for his efforts, goodness knows. A cool $500, but still.
Well, I, for one, should be very happy to put the gentleman up at my house.
Judge, this man is a musician. What do you know about music?
I guess I know as much as you do.
That I beg leave to doubt. Old goat is tone deaf. Besides, Judge, he's a celebrity. We can't have him entertained by just anybody.
That I resent.
Judge, be reasonable. In the first place, my house has more room than yours.
Mine's better built.
That's neither here nor there. And it is not.
Has yours got copper plumbing throughout?
Well, no.
Has it an 18-inch foundation of reinforced concrete with a tile drain laid all around it? Has it?
No, but I've got something a lot more important. Over at our house, we've got a good cook. You can sit there on your reinforced foundation and starve to death, but not us.
Gentlemen, I think we're getting just a teeny bit off the subject. May I ask one thing? Have either of you a piano?
Mrs. Pettibone, I not only have a piano, it's a Wembley.
Splendid!
Huh.
Now, Judge, we want Mr. Troy to be entertained in the style to which he has been accustomed. Mind you, Mr. Gildersleeve, we shall hold you responsible for Cyril's comfort. Gracious, here I am calling him Cyril, and I haven't even met him.
Well, it was quite a meeting, wasn't it?
Quite a meeting.
You know, I've never met Mrs. Pettibone before. She's a very vital person, isn't she?
Yes, very vital.
I always admire anyone with so much energy.
Yes, very energetic.
She seems to take such an interest in things.
Yes, she's into most things sooner or later.
I don't think I like her very much. Do you?
Can't stand her.
Well, I must go in. It was so nice of you to see me home.
Eve?
Yes, Throckmorton?
You remember the last time we were alone together and I asked you for a kiss and you told me to go away and come back later?
I remember.
Well, I'm back.
Throckmorton, you're a dear.
How about it? Just one.
You're a dear, and I'll see you at the concert.
Oh, just one little. Well, no harm in asking.
Is that you, Unc?
You know who it is, young man. Did I hear you playing some of that boogly-woogly just now?
I guess so. I wasn't thinking.
We'll have no more of it, especially for the next 48 hours. Where's Marjorie?
Upstairs, I guess.
I've got to have a talk with both of you. And Bertie, too. Oh, Bertie! Marjorie! Bertie!
Yes, Mr. Gillsleeve? You want something?
Got to have a family conference right away, Bertie. Marjorie!
What's all the shouting for?
We're going to have a very distinguished guest tomorrow, my dear. One of the outstanding men in the world is going to visit us. Mr. Cyril Troy. He'll be here for lunch and supper, Bertie.
Well, I don't know who the gentleman is, but I hope he likes turkey hash.
Who is he, Uncle Mort?
I'm surprised at you, my dear. Cyril Troy is one of the most distinguished pianists in the world. He's played before all of the crown heads of Europe.
He must be used to eating mighty fine victuals.
Well, not turkey hash, Bertie. I've got a list here that Mrs. Pettibone gave me. For lunch, he prefers caviar with onions and sour cream. Can we take care of that?
All but the sour cream and the caviar.
We'll have to manage somehow. For supper, he just has artichoke bottoms with hollandaise sauce and a glass of warm milk.
My, my.
Where in the world did Mrs. Pettibone get all that?
It's right here in this book. It was sent out by his manager. Tells here how he prepares for his performances, and so on.
Well, I'll do my best, Mr. Gillsleeve. Is there anything else the gentleman fancies?
Well, just one little thing. He likes a bowl of hot water at exactly 7 o'clock in the evening.
Does he drink it right out of the bowl?
He doesn't drink it. He soaks his hands in it to relax his fingers.
Oh, for corn's sake!
Well, sir, I better get busy. But I declare, I don't know what kind of man would eat stuff like that anyhow.
Say, Unc, don't you think I ought to go and stay at Piggy's house till this is over?
Certainly not, Leroy. I want you to get a great inspiration from Mr. Troy. He can probably give you lots of valuable hints on how to become a concert pianist.
Yeah, he'll give me the same bunch of hot air I get from old Lady Roots.
Leroy!
Practice makes perfect, Leroy. Phooey!
Leroy.
Well, gee, Unc, if a piano player has to eat sawed-off artichokes and soak his hands in sour cream, what is there in it?
Young man, he's going to get $500 for playing the piano tomorrow night.
$500?
Yes.
I'd like to hear him if he's that good. Too bad I have a date tomorrow night.
What kind of a date?
Wally Hoff is having a birthday party.
Well, there's one date you can certainly break.
Uncle Mort!
Wally Hoff's birthday will come along every year, but an opportunity like this comes once in a lifetime. Why, I'll never forget the time I heard Paderewski as a boy.
But I promised Wally.
Then you can go after the concert. Much better to spend 2 hours listening to good music than wallowing in that boogly-woogly all evening.
I won't see him cut the cake. Oh, you're mean.
Now, Marjorie, be reasonable.
I'd be glad to go to the concert, Unc. But I guess it's too late for me to stay up, huh?
You're going to the concert too, young man.
It's awful late. I need plenty of sleep, you know.
Quite right. You can take a nap in the afternoon.
Oh, gee, I haven't had a nap in 5 years.
No arguments.
I wish this guy wasn't coming.
So do I.
It will be delightful, confound it. One day you'll be telling your grandchildren about the night Cyril Troy slept under our roof.
Oh, yeah? Where's he gonna sleep anyway?
He probably has to sleep on some special air-cooled mattress.
Don't be absurd. Let's see. It's right here in the pamphlet. The maestro wears monogrammed silk pajamas and sleeps diagonally across a double bed.
Well, you've got the only double bed, Uncle Mort. I guess that puts you in the sewing room.
I can't sleep in that room. I never get a wink of sleep in there.
That's all right, Unc. You can take a nap in the afternoon.
Leroy, you're getting too fresh, young man. Well, good morning, Judge.
Good morning, Throckmorton. I just checked the train, and she's right on time.
Be here in a few minutes, then.
Yes. Where's Mrs. Pettibone?
I think I saw her in the station. That's why I came out here.
I thought I saw her, too. Woman talks a lot, doesn't she?
Talk the arm off a statue. I don't see how Doc Pettibone stands it. If I were married to her, I'd... Oh, hello, Mrs. Pettibone.
Good morning, Mr. Gildersleeve. Good morning, Judge. Isn't it a glorious morning for our celebrity?
Lovely morning, yes indeed. Well, there she blows.
Oh, I'm so excited. Mr. Gildersleeve, before I forget, I want you to bring Mr. Troy to my house tonight after the concert. I'm inviting a few musical people I'm sure he'll want to know.
Musical people?
Well, there's Mr. Faunce, the organist, and Miss Roots, of course, and Mrs. Erickson.
The librarian.
Yes. I understand she plays the cello almost as well as a professional.
I can't stand watching a woman play the cello.
I believe she wears slacks when she plays. Gives a much nicer effect. Be that as it may, I know an artist like Mr. Troy will enjoy relaxing with a few of our local bohemians. You'll remember to bring him now, Mr. Gildersleeve. And you'll want to come too, I know, Judge.
I'll be delighted. Well, here she comes.
Mercy, I do believe I'm nervous. Look, Mr. Gildersleeve, I'm actually shaking with excitement. Think of it. The Cyril Troy will soon be stepping onto this very platform.
By George, he will.
Oh, where is he? Where can he be?
There he is. I'll help him with his bags, Gildersleeve. You wait here.
No, you don't, Hooker. He's my guest, and I'll be the first to shake hands with him.
But I saw him first.
You did not.
Gentlemen, aren't you forgetting that I'm the president of the Women's Club? Ladies first, you know.
By George, if I was Pettibone.
Excuse me, but you are Cyril Troy, aren't you?
Yes, I'm Troy.
I knew it. There's genius in your face. Genius in your walk. And all the world knows there's genius in your fingers.
Well, thank you. Are there any porters available?
These gentlemen will carry your bags. I am Sarah Pettibone, Mr. Troy.
Oh, yes, Mrs. Pettibone. They told me you'd be in charge of the arrangements.
Yes. May I present Judge Hooker and Mr. Gildersleeve of our committee?
How do you do?
Mr. Troy, as a member of the committee and a representative of the bench in Summerfield, may I say, welcome to your great genius of melody, of harmony, of rhythm. Welcome to our city.
Thank you, Judge Hooker.
Now let's run along, shall we? Have you got the bags, Mr. Gildersleeve?
Mrs. Pettibone, please. Mr. Troy, as the citizen of Summerfield to whom it has fallen the happy chance of being your host during your stay here, may I say that my entire home is at your disposal, including my piano. It's a Wembley.
Very kind of you, Mr. Gildersleeve.
Not at all. Glad to have you.
Bags, Mr. Gildersleeve.
Oh, yes.
I can handle them, really.
Oh, no, you're the guest. The judge and I can take them.
Well...
I've got the briefcase, Horace. Now, Mr. Troy, I imagine you'll want to go right out to the house and wash up and so on.
Yes, if I may. I'll see you later, I trust, Mrs. Pettibone.
Now, Mr. Troy, I know you just can't wait to get at your beloved piano, but I'm not going to let you get away just yet. I haven't had a chance to get acquainted with you.
But Mr. Troy will be seeing you tonight after the concert.
How delightful.
But I want to know you better before the concert, Mr. Troy. I always enjoy music much more if I feel I really understand the personality of the man who plays. Don't you think personality is terribly important?
Undoubtedly.
Then you're coming right to lunch with me at the Summerfield Grill.
But Mrs. Pettibone.
You're coming too, Mr. Gildersleeve.
But I thought Mr. Troy was going to have lunch at my house.
So much the better. We can all have lunch at your house.
Yes, wonderful.
Then it's all settled. A nice, long lunch, and no one will talk about anything but music. Come along, Mr. Troy. I'm just going to monopolize you. Tell me, do you think Beethoven is better than Brahms?
Come on, Judge. This is going to be one of our bad days.
The Great Gildersleeve will be with us again in just a few seconds.
Meanwhile, I'd like to remind you that millions of pounds of American cheddar cheese are going to war, helping to build the strong muscles and to supply the energy our soldiers and fighting allies need. And right here at home, there's a big demand for Pabstet, the nourishing cheese food that's made from cheddar cheese with milk nutrients added. That's natural, I expect, because Pabstet makes such delicious sandwiches, pleases family appetites in such a variety of tempting ways. Melted, toasted, or sliced, all three ways. Delicious golden Pabstet makes exciting treats you can serve at mealtime or any time. Pabstet's wholesome cheese goodness is in demand, too, for the important vitamins and milk minerals it helps provide. So for all these many reasons, your dealer may not have as large a stock of Pabstet as in normal times. However, everything possible is being done to keep dealers supplied. So look for delicious golden Pabstet cheese food in the familiar round flat package. Tomorrow, first thing, buy Pabstet. Now, let's see how things are going with the Great Gildersleeve. After an interminable luncheon, Mrs. Pettibone and Judge Hooker have left, and the house has been turned over completely to Gildersleeve's distinguished guest. Leroy has been banished to his room for a nap, and Marjorie and Bertie have been ordered not to make a sound, in case the great man wants to rest or practice for his concert. Unable to maintain such silence himself, Gildersleeve has walked down to the drugstore to let off steam to his friend Peavy.
All I can say is, when a man has to tiptoe around his own house, things have come to a pretty pass.
Well, those things happen, Mr. Gildersleeve.
I know.
There have been times when I've had to do a little tiptoeing.
That's different. Have you ever had anything to do with a genius, Peavy?
No, I can't say that I have.
Well, don't.
I had a brother who showed some tendency that way, but they sent him to military school and took it out of him.
Queer as fish, all of them. The fellow just sat there all through lunch and never opened his face. You may not believe it, Peavy, but they say he soaks his hands in warm water for half an hour before he plays a concert.
Well, that's not so strange. I knew of a baseball player once who soaked his hands in brine to make them tough.
Did it work?
I couldn't say. He got hit with a beanball one day and never played again. People always said it was too bad he didn't soak his head.
Well, ball players may be crazy, but musicians are crazier.
Well, no, I wouldn't say that.
They are. Do you know what this one has to have every day of his life? Breast of quail.
He's not so crazy. I'd eat it myself if I could get it.
I'll tell you something else about him.
Nice, plump quail, brown to a turn. Delicious.
I'll tell you something else.
With a little wild rice and currant jelly. I don't know anything better.
Peavy, are you interested in hearing what I have to say?
Oh, excuse me, Mr. Gildersleeve. Go ahead. I'm listening.
Well, you make it sound so darn important now. It's nothing much. I was just going to remark that this genius, this Cyril Troy, he never gets up till noon. He admits it right in his own catalog.
Mr. Gildersleeve, I'm going to tell you something I've never told another man.
What's that?
Well, when I was a young man before I was married, I worked for a large drug concern, Dunninger and Holtz. I worked for them for 8.5 years and never missed a day.
Well, that's quite a record.
Yes, sir. 8.5 years. And then one day, one Washington's birthday, I sent word that I was sick. Mr. Gildersleeve, I was no sicker than you are right now. I just stayed home in bed.
Peavy, you didn't.
I don't know what came over me. I just stayed in bed. I didn't get up till 4 o'clock that afternoon, and when I did, I went down to the corner and had myself a hot chocolate. And a week later, I went into business for myself.
Peavy, you want to know something?
What?
I think you're as crazy as Cyril Troy.
Well, now, I wouldn't say that.
Goodbye, Peavy.
excuse me, Mr. Troy. I didn't know you were here.
That's all right, son. Come in. I was just playing solitaire.
I don't want to disturb you. I'll get right out. I was just looking for my gun. I'll get right out.
Don't go. Sit down. I'd like to talk to you.
Are you kidding?
No.
Oh, no. I couldn't. I better get back upstairs.
What have you got to go upstairs for?
I'm supposed to be taking a nap.
A nap? At your age?
Yeah, my uncle made me. I better get out of here, too, before he catches me.
Take it easy. Your uncle won't catch you. He's gone out.
Are you sure?
Sure. Right after lunch. He muttered something about getting some cigars.
Well, if you don't mind, then.
Of course not. Tell me, what kind of man is your uncle?
Oh, he's swell.
I couldn't make him out. He hardly opened his mouth during lunch. Of course, that Mrs. What's her name?
Pettibone.
She hardly closed hers.
What a character!
You're quite a character yourself. What's your name again?
Leroy. Well, it's no worse than Cyril.
Leroy, you're all right. Say, it's like a tomb around here. Is it always this quiet?
Are you kidding?
Well, what's everybody in mourning for?
For you. Unc told us we had to keep it quiet. He said he'd skin us alive if we made any racket.
Gosh, he didn't have to do that.
Well, you can't tell with these musicians. They're temperamental.
Where did you get that?
Unc, he read us where you never get up till 12 o'clock. He says you never eat anything but hummingbirds' tongues. Is that right?
Tell Unc that's bunk. It was all invented by a press agent.
Unc says you make a lot of money, too. Is that bunk?
Well, for a piano player, I guess I do all right.
He says you get $500 a concert. How about that?
That's not counting what the government gets. Is this your music I see on the piano, or is it your sister's?
She can't play a note.
How about you?
I can play a note.
I suppose you practice faithfully every day?
Oh, yes. Every day.
Are you kidding?
Mr. Troy, play something, will you? Go ahead, will you, huh?
Well, let's see here. What have we got here?
No, no, not that. I can play that.
Well, what do you like?
Play something, you know.
Leroy, you heard what your uncle said. If he catches you playing that piano... Oh, excuse me, Mr. Troy. I didn't know it was you.
Well, that's all right. Come in. By the way, what's her name?
Birdie.
Birdie, do you know where a man could get anything to eat around here?
Mr. Troy, you came to the right department. Do you like turkey hash?
Birdie, if you'll give us turkey hash for dinner, I'll play just for you. I'll play anything you like.
I knew it. Doggone it, I knew it. And he thought it wasn't good enough for you.
How about this?
Oh, man, listen to that.
Hey, how do you do that? Let me look.
Leroy?
It's not me. It's his nibs. Come on in.
Come on in, sis. Join the merry throng.
How do you like that, Marge? Can Wally Hoff do that?
If he could, I'd marry him tomorrow.
Hey, cheese it. Here comes Unc. I just heard him coming up the porch.
Uh-oh.
We weren't doing anything, Unc.
Mr. Troy, I'm sorry if you've been annoyed by these children.
Oh, not at all. We were just having fun.
No, he wasn't annoyed, Unc.
Leroy, what did I tell you?
But Uncle Mort, you don't understand.
Marjorie, go to your room. Birdie?
I was just on my way to the kitchen.
But Unc, you've got him wrong. He's all right. He's okay.
Leroy, please.
I'm going.
I don't want to interfere, Mr. Gildersleeve, but it really wasn't their fault.
You're very kind. Too kind.
They just asked me to play for them, and I was only too glad to...
I told them they were not to do that. You have to practice, and they know it.
Well, I really wasn't planning to practice.
You're very polite, but you have an important concert ahead, and we don't want to interfere with it. Now we'll close the door, and you just go right ahead and practice.
Well, if you insist. Nuts.
Leroy, do you consider yourself ready to go to the concert?
Sure. I got on the suit, haven't I?
Yes, but look at that necktie. Come here.
Hey, you don't have to choke me to death.
There. Marjorie, ready?
She's been ready for hours.
All right. Where's what's-his-name?
Mr. Troy? He's out in the yard playing with the cat.
That's a funny way to get ready for a concert. Well, come on. Marjorie!
Here I am, Uncle Mort.
Let's go.
Yes, and when we get there, I want you to enjoy it. You understand? If you don't, I'll deal with you later.
Gosh, this is a long piece.
Quiet, Leroy. It's Beethoven.
Didn't he write any short ones?
Shh! It's almost over. This is the fourth movement.
When did he finish the third?
A long time ago.
Well, he didn't stop.
Shut up, Gildersleeve. Let somebody enjoy the concert.
Why, you...
Wake up.
What the? Oh!
Hey, he's still playing.
Oh. Is it still the Brahms piece?
Yes.
Beautiful. Beautiful.
What a character.
You wait here in the car, Leroy. I'm going to call for Mr. Troy in his dressing room.
Okay. Gosh, I'm sleepy.
What are you complaining about? You're going home to bed. I've got to sit around for hours and listen to a bunch of women make a fuss over this piano player. I'll be right back.
Hurry, will you, Unc?
Come in. Oh, hello, Mr. Gildersleeve. Just changing my shirt. I'll be right with you.
Fine. I found your concert very enjoyable.
Did you really?
Well, most of it. There's something about Brahms that I don't know.
I know exactly what you mean. When I was playing that thing tonight, I thought I'd never get to the end.
So did I.
I noticed you dropped off there for a minute.
Well,
I don't blame you. I doubt if Brahms would either. If a man writes a lullaby, what does he expect?
Well, never thought of that. I guess we'd better get going.
Oh, yes. To Mrs. Pettibones.
She'll be waiting.
I'm sure she will. Mr. Gildersleeve, I was just thinking.
What?
What would happen if we sneaked out on Mrs. Pettibone and you and Judge Hooker and I got up a little game of poker?
Mr. Troy, you're a piano player after my own heart. By George, Leroy's going to practice every day from now on. Good night, Doc. Good night, Peavy.
Good night, gentlemen.
Good night, fellas.
Good night.
Good night, Gildy. Good night, Cyril.
Good night, Judge. Sorry the cards weren't running with you.
I didn't get hurt. See you tomorrow.
Well, let's get going, Cyril.
All right, Gildy. You know, I don't think I ever had a better time in my life.
I'm glad to hear that.
Say, who's that little man they called Doc that just sat there raking in the chips?
Him? That's Dr. Pettibone.
Pettibone? Why didn't someone warn me?
Oh, the doc's all right. He hates music, too.
Most of you homemakers I know aren't wasting a bit of food these days. And by putting all your leftovers to good use, you're right in step with a vast army of patriotic Americans who are making food fight for freedom. Since you're doing your part, I'd like to be of help by telling you how to put extra special flavor into leftover meals. Dozens of ordinary dishes turn into taste-tempting treats when you add the tantalizing flavor of Kraft Salad Mustard. It's that light, golden Kraft Salad Mustard, that just right spicy tang that puts appetite excitement into all sorts of leftover dishes. Kraft Salad Mustard is creamy smooth, blends to perfection in tasty cream sauces for vegetables, zips up the flavor of fish and cold meats, gives an extra lift to cheese fondue and Welsh rabbits. And for the somewhat sharper flavor some folks prefer, there's still another Kraft mustard.
with horseradish added. Ask your dealer for either of these two popular Kraft quality mustards, Kraft salad mustard or Kraft mustard with horseradish added. Music heard on this program was directed by Claude Sweetin. This is Brian Hendrickson speaking for the Kraft Cheese Company and inviting you to listen in again next Sunday for the further adventures of the Great Gildersleeve.
This presentation of the Great Gildersleeve starred Lee Delaney as the Great Gildersleeve. Missy Carl played Leroy, Cindy Martin Asher was Marjorie, and Janet Whitaker played Eve Goodwin. Nick Helton was the judge, yours truly Bob Hutchison played Mr. Peavy, and Lisette Ralph was our birdie. John Heflin was Cyril Troy, with Pam Hungate as Mrs. Pettibone. Additional music by Bob Hutchison. Sound effects by John Heflin and Janet Whitaker. The production was directed by Mike Wheeler. This is Bob Hutchison inviting you to join us again next time for the further adventures of the Great Gildersleeve.